Hi, everybody. Anna here. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Anna and Susanna Show. As many of you know, we've changed up our format a bit. Susanna and I felt called to go a bit spiritually deeper during our talks with each other, but we still wanted to laugh and make fun of things like Mariah Carey at the same time. I guess you consider our new format a Bible study that goes off the rails. Sometimes really far off the rails, so put on your seatbelt. We want you to know that we see your messages and emails, and we're so encouraged and thankful by your loving, kind words and support. If you love the show, could you do us a favor? First, subscribe to us through iTunes, and then give us a quick rating and review. If you think a friend or family member may enjoy the show or be encouraged by it, please share us with them. It's an honor to spend our Wednesdays with you. With that out of the way, buckle up, ladies and men. The Anna and Susanna Show is coming up next.
Hey, baby, I know you've had a hard day. Packing lunches, folding laundry, getting the oil changed in the caravan. Or maybe you've spent 8 hours in the cubicle with that jerk boss looking over your shoulders. Settle down, pour a glass of red, kick your shoes off and forget about your cares, baby. It's time for the Anna and Susanna Show.
Hi, everybody. This is Anna Lynn Thomas, the founder of the funny website for women, Ha-Ha's for Hoo-Ha's.
And this is Susanna B. Lewis of Whoa Susanna. Welcome to the Anna and Susanna Show.
Well, Susanna, I just, if you guys, I don't know what the audio is going to sound like, but I am in a clubhouse room hoping that no one comes in with like a keg or something like, hey, we've got this room reserved for Wednesday at noon. Can you get out? You know, because I'm recording a podcast.
It's possible.
And I'm here because I've had a crazy week.
Yes, you have.
Last week we talked about never giving up, and I talked about all of the resistance I've been getting. And I would like to share with you the resistance I got come Friday, which was a tornado.
Wow, that's a lot of resistance.
That's a lot of resistance.
That's the definition of resistance.
Literally, metaphorically, all of the above. So,
yeah.
Can I just jump right in and just tell you the story?
Go ahead.
Okay.
Yes, please.
So Friday, Rob and I decide, you know, he doesn't really know what he wants for Father's Day. You want to go get like a nice kind of Ralph Lauren shirt or something like that. And you want to do some shopping at the mall and just see if there's something that, you know, kind of that you'd be into. And he goes, yeah, because he couldn't really figure out what he was in the mood for. And so I go, well, let's go to the mall. And it looked like it was a little overcasty. And I go, well, check the weather. Make sure there's nothing going on. So we checked the weather and there was nothing. It said that we might have some sprinkles and at like 10, and that was it. So I was like, okay, well, let's go. So we're at the mall, and we're shopping, and we're looking around, and it's pretty busy because it's a Friday night. And we get told over the overhead speaker when we're in one department store that the tornado sirens are going off, and would the employees and all of the guests at the store please go down to the basement? And see, I'm from the Midwest. And when you're kind of, you know, tornadoes are just kind of a thing that we have tornado seasons and they're just a part of our life, and they're rare, even though, you know, they're common here, they're still very rare. So, you know, you just kind of learn to be afraid and when not to be afraid, I guess. So,
yeah.
Plus we were in a huge mall. I mean, you know, what kind of damage was it going to do? So some people were going down to the basement. We weren't. We kind of continued to shop. And I could tell that the department store we were in, like, they really wanted us to go to the basement. But I could see out into the actual mall, or like this huge food court that we have. A band was playing. People were still in other stores. I was like, let's just get out of here, because I do not want to be stuck at the bottom of a JCPenney. Okay. That's like, that is not how I want to spend my Friday night.
No.
So We go out into the regular mall and we decide to go into the fancier Von Maur, which is like a Nordstrom's. Mm-hmm. And so we're in that part of the mall kind of shopping. And in this department store, no one's doing anything. Everyone's just shopping like normal. So I was like, okay, this is the kind of department store I like, where we just pretend the sirens are going off and we live our lives.
Rich people ain't scared of no tornadoes.
Exactly. At the JCPenney, they're all huddled up because they know crap happens. They've seen it.
They know they got mobile homes. They know. So, nothing against mobile homes. Let's put that disclaimer out.
They've just seen some stuff, and they know that, you know,
yeah,
take shelter if you have to.
Right.
So we're with the rich people who are just like, we're too rich to have a tornado hit us.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking and we're shopping. Boy, you can hear. And then in the mall, the lights kind of flicker, which was super creepy. But the woman who was helping us didn't even hesitate to continue to like look for sizes. So we're like, I ain't going to be worried. So we're shopping and, I'm like, you know, apparently a tornado is practically outside. And I'm like, do you have this in a tall XL? You know, okay, completely oblivious, pushing my girls around. My girls are eating pretzel. You know, Lucy's right. Eating pretzel bites. And so we do all that, but it's such a torrential downpour. Rob kind of checks the weather and he goes, it looks like it's moving south. And that south is where we live. And so he's like, we should just kind of, let's just wait this out a little bit. And the girls are starting to get late. They're getting antsy. They're getting sleepy. And I go, well, if it's headed south already, let's just go home. I mean, as long as it's not here, let's just go home. So we get into the car. It's like sprinkling now. The storm has pretty much passed. We get the girls in. Again, everybody's still acting pretty normal. Nothing's kind of weird. The sirens aren't going off anymore. We get on the highway. And there are like accidents everywhere. People are just on the highway even. There was like a 5-car pileup. I mean, we're just like, oof. Yeah. People need to drive in storms better. Am I right? I mean, we're still not taking it very seriously. A guy goes off of this ramp right behind us. He's coming on. He's going full speed, hits a large puddle, spins 10 times so ferociously and hits the wall that I'm actually not even sure he survived it.
Oh, wow.
So then Rob and I are kind of like screaming like, oh, my God. But we can't stop because we're on the highway and we've got the girls. We can't just stop in the middle. That's dangerous to even be on the side. So we called 911, which took forever because there was apparently a ton of stuff going on. But they did answer and said that they were sending someone out. Wow. Hopefully that guy's okay. We didn't see there were no reported deaths or anything like that. So we're hoping that it was just, you know, he's okay. So we just kept driving and we make it home. And as we're getting closer to home, signs are bent over. They're not like a speed limit sign. They were so bent over that they were bent all the way over touching the ground. That's how bent over they were.
Yeah.
The street lights were no longer working. Some trees were just completely, the roots were up. And we're like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. I mean, I hope our house is okay. So we keep driving. The way home has been under construction. All of the cones are scattered everywhere. So it's kind of like you're just zigzagging in and out. We just can't believe our eyes. I mean, the whole thing is just so crazy. And as we get off of the highway onto the main road that leads to our neighborhood, as we're driving, all of the power lines are bent. Some of them are cracked right in half. Mm. And they fall right in front of us.
Oh, my gosh, Anna.
So we're like, at this point, I've kind of gone into a little bit of denial.
Yeah.
You know, you just kind of leave yourself a little bit like, this is no big deal. So I've gone into a little bit of denial and hold on just one second. Hey, it's totally okay. I'm just letting you guys know that I'm recording a podcast, so I don't want to make it awkward for you, but that's what I'm doing up here. Okay. So
is it the keg party?
Yes, it's arrived. So all of the lights have fallen. So
now the Anna and Susanna show has a live studio audience.
Yeah, exactly. So it's all kind of broken. It's fallen over. And so we're like, okay, that's scary. Let's back up and go. Rob's like, okay, well, we're just going to have to back up and try to get into our neighborhood the back way. So we go to back up and they fall behind us.
Oh my gosh, Anna.
It was like Final Destination.
It's like a movie.
It was like Final Destination where, you know, like death is like, remember in the fifth grade when that softball almost hit you in the head? Well, I'm coming to get you now. You know, it was like that, right? So we just sit there and there's two other cars that are stuck with us. And we're just sitting there and I'm like, okay. I go, I tell you what. I'm deciding not to panic because we're just going to wait here until help comes. You know, whatever. Well, right when I say that, the wind starts to pick up again and it starts torrential downpouring again. So then now I'm scared because if that's like the tornado coming back or zigzagging around or whatever it is, now we're stuck in the middle of the road and our car can just be thrown. You know, so now I'm worried. So now I'm actually plotting. Like I see this farmhouse that's like off in the distance and I'm thinking, can we get out? Could we get electrocuted? Are these you know, I'm thinking of an escape plan. We would just drive off road and get off of this thing. I mean, I'm trying to figure this all out. And then a fire truck comes and he comes and he stops right before the power lines and they start to get out. And then a cop car comes. I'm like, okay, good. They're coming to help. All of a sudden another cop car comes. They all run back into their vehicles and they leave. So I'm like,
that's a comforting sight, isn't it? God. You know what I keep thinking about as you're telling this story, when Rick Grimes woke up from his coma and like you walked out of the mall was your coma and you walked out and the world had ended while you were in JCPenney shopping for chinos
with my Von Mar bag and my Auntie Anne's pretzels. Yes. That's exactly what it was. That's exactly how it was. Yeah. So they leave. So then this older guy in the truck is like, I think these are live wires. I don't think, you know, don't go anywhere. And then as we're waiting, Lucy is just talking to herself, kind of playing with a toy. She's totally fine. So the girls are okay, which I'm just like, thank God. If they were both crying, it would have just been the end of the world. That's the true end of the world right there, is being stuck with two crying babies.
For real.
So one of the guys is like, I don't think they're live anymore. They were like live at first, but then they weren't acting the same. And so he's like, I think that the electricity's off now. He's like, I'm just going. I'm going to go for it. So we're like, Godspeed if you blow up, you know, which when you're over tires, we're grounded. So that it was like, maybe it was okay. Anyway, he drove over it. Nothing happened. So then we went and we had to go the back way, which was like the back country way to get back into our neighborhood. And it was barns were gone. Silos were gone, bent over. There was we could see RVs were completely on their roofs. And we're like, oh, my God, I hope we have a house to go back to. So we call our neighbor. And she's like, hey, just drinking a Coors Light, hiding in our basement. What are you guys doing?
And that's good.
We're like, so are our houses there? And she goes, well, your guys' house, she goes, Chad went out and your guys' house is still there, but you've got pretty much a tree on top of it. And she goes, and it looks like you have a live wire in. She goes, and it looks like you've got a power line over your driveway. And we're like, oh God, oh great. And then you can hear her husband. He's like, it's their hose. You know, we're like, oh, thank God. So
you've had too many Coors Lights, Becky. It's just the hose.
Yeah, exactly. So we start to make our way home. And you can barely even drive through the neighborhood. It's unbelievable. People are out with flashlights kind of surveying their damage. So we zigzag and make our way home. And there is basically a tree on our house. Thank God it's kind of laying on top of the house. And it doesn't even appear to have caused too much damage other than like gutter and maybe some shingles. I don't think it caused any kind of structural damage. So we walked in. There was no electricity. Our whole front yard was just covered in trees, our whole backyard. I kept asking. I was like, is my kayak still there? Because you know I love my kayak. Okay. Yeah. Everyone's house is practically gone. And I'm like, is my kayak still in the back? Can you tell me? So our neighbor said that their whole boat completely lifted up off of the water. They thought it was just going to fly away in the air and it just plopped right back down. Our kayak was just moved like 3 feet. I think it was so low to the ground, nothing happened to it. Thank God. So anyway, we stayed there for the night and lit candles. I had these candlesticks and I was like going through the house and, you know, like the wax kept burning on my hands. And I'm like, how did the Victorians do it? And my mom was like, they didn't have candlesticks from Trader Joe's.
That's why Ebenezer Scrooge was so mad all the time.
Yeah, just all the wax that lands on your hands. Exactly.
These candles are ruining my life. Bah, humbug.
Every time I try to read something, my hand gets burned. So it's like, you know, it's not even that late. The girls go right to bed. I mean, there's no issue. They don't really understand anything that's going on. They go right into bed, you know, by candlelight. And I'm in our bedroom and Rob's like, well, when in Rome, starts to fall asleep. I'm like, it's 9 o'clock. I am hyped up.
Yeah,
we just went through, like, you know, I go, well, he goes, well, why don't you read by candlelight? Okay, not as easy as it sounds, Susanna. Let me tell you something. Unfortunate Ursula Underwood's got some pages stuck with wax. Okay? Light does not transmit from a candle as far as you think. You have to hover it over your pages. I was getting my hand burned. It was dripping all over your book. I was like, Susanna, another time. You're just going to have to razz me again in the next book.
Newsflash, paper's flammable. You can't read this. Can't read books by candlelight. All those Lifetime movies are a lie.
They are all a lie. All we learned in the history books about everybody reading by candlelight are liars.
Lies. Yeah.
So then I'm pulling out my Yankee candle. I'm like, you know what? I'm not in the mood for cinnamon. I am not in the mood for apple cinnamon pie. Okay? My house is wrecked. I'm blowing this out. Okay.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
So, anyway, we decide in the morning, because, you know, the temperatures were getting like 95, 100, but it did take a while for the heat to actually get into your house. But I was like, listen, with the babies, we just got to get out of here because it's too crazy. So we left with the girls, and the only room available that was kind of had like a kitchen was this Residence Inn across town. So we make it there. And all they have is like this king studio, which was nice. It was a nice place. But when you have two babies who take naps and you're all in the same room. I don't know. Listen, I don't want to belittle the tornado, but they were on par as the same kind of trauma. Because, first of all, the babies, I'm putting her in a pack and play, which neither of them have ever slept in a pack and play before because we've never had to. So they were like, what the hell is this? Get me out. You're crazy.
Yeah.
Then Poppy's not napping. Lucy, that nap went out the window. So then 8:30 rolls around. Now, you know it's summertime. So at 8:30, the sun's out as if it's noon. Okay.
Right.
But yeah, she is so tired. So the only thing we can do is just shut down the room, close the blinds, pull out. And she's never slept in an actual bed before. She still sleeps in her crib. So this whole thing is weird. The girl hasn't even used a pillow. Okay. She's just still in the baby bed crib. We pull out the bed. We watch a movie. Then 8:30 hits. I go, we got to just try to shut everything down because she'll stay up forever if we keep this TV on. So I go, let's just lay with her. And when she falls asleep, we'll get out. So we're both, Rob and I, are on this really uncomfortable pull-out bed with her. We shut down the whole room. The baby's finally asleep. We shut down. So we're just sitting there. I can see out the window. People are like still in the pool having a great time. We're pretending it's midnight.
Yeah, been there. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
You know, she's touching my face, talking. I'm like, let's go nun-nai. Look, daddy's going nun-nai. Finally, she falls asleep. Rob and I creep out of the bed. I don't know what time it is. What, 8:45? Now I'm in a pitch black room and I can't go anywhere or do anything because the girls are asleep in the room. So Rob, once again, is like, when in Rome, lays in bed, falls asleep. I was all by myself at 8:45, blinking, just blinking.
Oh, and I've been there so many times because not with the tornado situation, but having babies, and he just goes to sleep, and I'm just left alone.
In a dark room? Have you been stuck in a dark room?
Yes, in a dark room, just alone.
You're alone. I was texting people, like my pastor's wife was like, hey, how are you guys doing? I texted her probably 3 pages worth of text, just going on and on. I'm like, well, so then I packed, then I was like, what, should I pack my tank tops? I didn't know. So I picked a night. I mean, I'm going into great detail about what I packed because I'm so bored. She didn't even reply to that text. She's like, that girl's got something going on. I'm busy. So I'm just texting until finally I just give up. We talked about not giving up last time, and I just had to white flag it. I said, you know what, devil, you got me this time, USOB. I'm just gonna go to bed. It's 9:15.
I'm gonna sleep in my residence inn at 9:15.
You monster!
In my king size studio suite. Just going to bed.
I'm just gonna go to bed.
Satan. I'm gonna catch him up on my sleep. How dare you, Satan?
How dare you, Satan? I'm exhausted. I'm so exhausted I can barely keep my eyes open. So I'm gonna sleep for a good 12. So we wake up the next day and I'm determined to make this work. So I make some eggs and I've got some stuff, you know, I'm making breakfast as normal. Lucy's kind of sitting up at the bar and I'm like, hey, we can do this. Maybe we'll hit the pool today. Here's the thing. When I'm on vacation, I tend to eat like it's my last days. Be the same way. You're just like, hey, yes. I'll eat that. What's that? It looks fried. I'll do it.
Vacation calories don't count.
Exactly. Well, it felt like we were on vacation. But it was like the worst vacation ever. It was like the lamest vacation that was super inconvenient, but it still felt like a vacation. So, you know, we're just eating just junk. And so we're trying to survive in this hotel. And I was like, okay, I can't live this way. Something's got to give. So we stayed there another night. The next night, Lucy actually slept pretty much all through the night. Poppy was a nightmare, waking up every 45 minutes. The next night was worse. Lucy was like, what is going on? Why am I still here? Where am I? We didn't sleep at all the next day. So we had to go back and actually do cleanup. So, you know, we had to take the trees down and put everything on our curb and go through all that. So we all went back to the house. The girls just kind of played and hung out while Rob and I did some super hard labor. But honestly, it was kind of nice. It feels nice to be busy and to take care of your home and kind of get stuff done. So we did all that. We came back. We went out to eat. We had dinner. I was sitting by Lucy. You know when you're a mom and you go out to eat and you just don't want to be the one that sits next to your baby anymore because you just need a break. You just want to eat your hamburger and fries in peace.
I say sit with daddy.
You just wish you had an aunt or a cousin or somebody else with you who could just help for a minute because you're just so exhausted. She sat on my lap. She sat right next to me, eating her yogurt and dripping. She got yogurt on my dress, on my shirt. She got then she drank her water, spilled that on me. She was eating crackers. I was getting covered in cracker dust. You know, so it was like, okay, just accept. I just accepted my fate. Well, then another thing that happened is like, okay, we can't be in the same room anymore because now we're not sleeping. So we are back. I used to live downtown in this building. We remember that they have executive suites that they will rent out to executives who are in for a certain amount of time, and they had one available, and so this is where we're at now. So we're back in the old apartment we used to be in. And we made it. So the resistance is pretty real. I haven't been able to do much work, if anything at all. I've just kind of been in survival mode. But I was like, I was like, it's silly to even try to do this podcast. But I was like, I'm not giving up. Yeah. I am not giving. I'm going to show up. We've got internet. I can go down to a clubhouse where people are coming in and out, and I'm just going to sit here and make it happen.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We had our house flooded about 4 years ago. We had a pipe bust, and that was a horrible ordeal. But we had to stay in a hotel, Anna, for about 8-9 days. Ugh. 9 days. And then we had to move because it didn't do any damage upstairs. Then we had to come back home after they had the upstairs ready. And so we just lived upstairs for the another 2 weeks or whatever.
Yeah.
And it, but being in that hotel room was, yeah, because it was school. We, our kids had to go to bed at, you know, at school. It was a school night.
Yeah.
They had to go to bed early. And so I was just be laying there. And it wasn't a king size executive suite either. Let me go on and tell you. There wasn't even a continental breakfast down there. Okay. And I was just laying around. I remember one time I went down to the lobby and some old man was down there watching boxing or something. And I was like, this is what my life has become.
That's how you feel. That will take you to the depths. Because let me tell you something. When you're in a survival situation, you're in survival mode and you start to get control of your life and control of your family. And we're going to make this work and we're going to survive this. But then once you get back to your hotel... and the lights are out at 8:30.
Yeah.
And you go down to the main lobby and you're right. They're watching box. Then your life is over. That you cannot survive.
I was down there eating getting peppermints out of the glass jar and stuff. I was like, I can't go to bed yet. This is sick. And Jason did like Rob, he just went to bed. He's like, I gotta be up early. I'm going to bed.
Yeah, not me. Thank God I'm not alone. I just sat there like, so I started to read. I have some books on my phone, so I was reading my books.
Feeling
very sorry, you know.
I have to read now. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I guess I'll read. That's great. So, yeah, that's how it's been. So, but at least in this new room, the girls have been in their own, there's another bedroom that they can be in so that they've been in there and Rob will go in and help Lucy fall asleep. But then I'm like, okay, I go, well, I'm going to, let's watch like one of our shows. I just want to do something that's comforting. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
He fell asleep. He didn't come out for 2 hours. Fell asleep with her. He came out all red eyed. I was like, well, I've just been sitting here looking bored out of my mind. Now I'm tired and want to go to bed. You know,
reading. Yeah.
Reading.
Tired and reading. Let me tell you, though, tornadoes are really terrifying. I mean, we've been through a tornado. I remember the sky turned a weird shade of green. Mm-hmm. And my husband, Jason, he loves storms. Like, he's not scared of lightning. He goes out on the porch and watches storms. Like, it'll be dancing lightning all around him. He's not scared. And I remember him running in for the first time being scared, which scared me. And he was like, the sky is turning green. And the girl was just a baby. She was probably about 6-7 months old. And we were all in a closet with my dog. And the tornado hit about a mile and a half from our house. And the damage was just catastrophic. I mean, it's like, you know what, it's like driving through a war zone.
Yep.
And it is terrifying. It looks like a war-torn country.
Yep.
And it was just the scariest thing. And I've had a whole new, because like you, here in the South, we have them pop up all the time. We have tornado season. I live in Tornado Alley.
Yeah.
And so it's a common thing around, but we've never had one right here. So when it hits close to home like that and you see it, you have a whole new respect and healthy fear of them. So anytime, girl, anytime that alarm, that siren goes off, I got my four-wheeler helmet on.
Yeah.
I put my four-wheeler helmet on. I get in the closet underneath some old sweatshirts, and we bunker down. And Jason's outside. He's like, the sky's not turning green. We're okay. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to take your word for it. I'm going to stay in here.
Well, it was, they said that the it got hurricane winds. It got up to 100 to 130 miles per hour. There were two tornadoes. The thing that's the most, that was the saddest for me, was that across from our front of our house is this gorgeous property. We don't own it, but the people who do take really good care of it. And there are these beautiful pear trees that are all lined up with this gorgeous fence. And I mean, I think one of them is still standing. The other one is completely tilted over at like a 45 degree angle, and then the other one is uprooted, and another one was snapped in half. And that actually was like the set to see beautiful nature wrecked like that was probably the hardest on me. I mean, the house, whatever, insurance can pay for it, but what's good, you know, these trees that have been here for who knows how long are now gone. And that part was really sad. And I was kind of telling you, I think, when I messaged you, that I was actually just relieved that I was at the mall like, excuse me, you got this in a tall XL. This is our Father's Day gift. I don't know. Do you have it in the blue? You know, instead of in my basement holding my infant and my toddler scared to death, You know, I'm just glad right. that I was clueless, honestly, than right. had to go through that because yuck. And there hasn't been any injuries, and so far there was no deaths reported. But what happened, because that road where all the power lines went down, that was so severe, that was the most severe damage in the city. So our neighborhood, a lot of people lost power, but they got it that night or the next day. Our neighborhood is the one that took the longest. And they were uh-huh. like, OPPD has restored electricity to the whole state, except for 2%. We were the 2%.
Of course, yeah.
Then our neighborhood has been lit up. Everybody's had everybody has had electricity for the past 2 days, except for my street. Mm-hmm. And it's to the point where I'm like, they remember that our street doesn't have electricity, right? You know, it's like, it's so weird that it's just our street that we're like, hello, y'all, you guys remember?
What's the girl with the Coors Light doing? Is her
nothing,
beer cold?
She's pissed. No, she said all her beer's starting to get warm. Now she's really despaired.
Gosh.
I know. And then I told her, I was like, are you going to work with, like, bad hair? She's like, I'm just crinching it. I'm just putting gel in it and scrunching. What else can I do? I was like, oh, that sucks. She has her kids with her mom because it's uh-huh. too hot. But,
yeah.
Woo! Oh. Nightmare. So, you know, it's when I was like, wow, well, this is the ultimate resistance. Now, am I saying that Satan sent 2 tornadoes to hit a whole mm-hmm. metropolitan area to make my life miserable? No. Okay, that's not what I'm saying. This is life. This is stuff that happens. But I am in shock and awe that it's like the resistance keeps doubling down. They're like, you thought you had it bad when you had that little light headache behind your eye. You thought that that was bad. You know, mm-hmm. I was like, Satan, get behind me. I can't have a headache. No, I mean, it was like, it just keeps doubling. I've really had to pray over my family because I was like, mess with property, whatever. But I'm not going, you know.
Right. Right.
Nobody better freaking get sick or something. You know, at least we're all healthy and safe, and I've prayed over everybody. So this is it just keeps getting crazier and crazier, and I'm so thankful that we're all safe, and it's been quite the experience. I've gained probably 15 pounds just emotional eating. I even chewed my nails. I haven't bitten my nails for probably a whole year, and they're all gone, which is so sad. Mm-hmm. And I go, must be the stress. So that must be how I must be processing my feelings. But anyway, I'm here, and I didn't want to give up on this podcast because this is the one thing. I mean, I could do it. I could say this is just way too inconvenient. But you know, I'm here doing it, right? I'm gonna keep showing up, doing what I can. I don't have to be weird. I mean, my family has relocated. I have 2 small children. I don't have to be like, I'm going to Starbucks. I'll see you in 5 hours and abandon my husband. Okay. I don't have to be weird about it. But when I'm going to show up when I can, I'm going to do what I can. If I think of something funny, I'm going to throw it up. I'm just going to make it. And I just trust that it's all going to work out. Because this is a stressful time. I've got the book being shopped and all of that. But
Perseverance.
So that leads us into share with everybody the verse that we got for today. And please do so right when we get back from this commercial break.
Dog owners, tell me you know about BarkBox. What is it? Well, let me tell you. For humans, BarkBox is a delivery of 4 to 6 natural treats and super fun toys. I started BarkBox after I had my girls and my bulldog Bruno started missing his one-on-one attention. He loves his monthly boxes, and it may be the best thing we've done for our little fur baby. Here's how it works. Every month, BarkBox paw picks the best all-natural treats and innovative toys to match a dog's unique needs, including allergies and heavy chewer preferences. And it's easy. Just choose your dog's size, then choose which monthly plan works for you, cancel anytime. Free shipping is just the icing on the cake. BarkBoxes are shipped to your door on the 15th of each month with a variety of goodies and treats you won't find anywhere. Each monthly box is themed, county fair, Pooh York City, etc. And all edibles are made in the U.S. and Canada. And BarkBox will replace an item your dog doesn't like. Scout's Honor. Keep your pup engaged with new and unique toys that'll continue to keep them interested and happy. If your dog does not like something in the box, they'll send you something they'll love for free. So listen up. Here's how you get a free extra month of BarkBox. Visit BarkBox.com/ AS Show, that's A as in Anna, S as in Susanna Show, when you subscribe to 6 or 12 month plan. Again, visit barkbox.com/AS Show when you subscribe to a 6 or 12 month plan. Your dog will thank me later. And he's barking right now. So there you go. See, he's excited.
Okay, so what do we got going on for this week?
Okay, today we have 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. Now, this is the amplified version, okay? Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a little in-depth here, but most of us are familiar with this verse anyway. For no temptation or trial, no matter how it comes to you or where it leads, has overtaken you and laid hold on you that it is not common to man. But God is faithful to his word and to his compassionate nature, and he can be trusted not to let you be tempted and tried and assayed beyond your ability and strength or resistance and power to endure. But with the temptation, he will always also provide a way out, the means of escape to a landing place. I like that, to a landing place. Mm-hmm. And you may be capable and strong and powerful to bear up under it patiently. Now, the side note says, 1 Corinthians 10:13 promises us that God will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we can bear, but with every temptation, he will also provide the way out, the means of escape. The end result will be that we are capable and strong to patiently bear up under whatever negative circumstances we face. I like how it has in parentheses after temptation, because this doesn't just apply to temptation, but trials, mm-hmm. and things that come, negative situations that come our way, that the Lord, that we can bear through it with his help.
Yes. Yeah. With patience. I'm blinking into the room at 8:30 because everybody's in bed.
Mm-hmm. Patiently, that we are capable and strong to patiently, that's the key word, patiently bear up under whatever negative circumstances we face.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Talking about patience, and this is kind of piggybacking off of that, I guess, you know, we're building our house. And Lord have mercy, talking about you needing some patience with the house building process.
Yes.
I have caught myself sometimes being so ugly, and I get so convicted about it. Just ugly about, you know, somebody not showing up to work on time, mm-hmm. or thinking this was going to get done today, and I drive all the way out there and it's not done. And, you know, just complaining, just petty first world complaints, you know, my brick ain't arrived yet. Well, by God, just ridiculous.
Yep.
And I got so convicted of that last week, Anna. And I was like, you know, God has provided us with this beautiful piece of land, this beautiful home that I never thought we would be able to build so young. And God has blessed us with the money to take care of this and the house plan that I've wanted. And this will be the house where I always live, and I'll have grandchildren in this house. Mm-hmm. How dare I sit around and complain? And I'll tell you, we had some theft out there.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody drove up, stole our water heaters, stole some tools, stole some things out of the house. And I just got so angry about that and so mad. And it was, you know, just the end of the world as I knew it that day, because we got to buy all this new stuff and we've already put money into it. And of course, I was praying for, we put up these, you know, signs, we put up cameras out there and these signs. And I told Jason, I was like, you know what? It says on the sign, you know, 24-hour surveillance. I said, we don't even need those signs. I just want to put up a sign that says, God is watching you.
Yeah.
God knows you about to steal something. And God's watching you. But he's like, no, let's put these up instead. But anyway.
He's like, you know, I'd feel more comfortable if we actually had cameras, Susanna, but thank you.
He said, yeah, God knows, but I'd like to know too. I'd like to know who it is. I was like, okay. But anyway, I got so just angry and just mad and pouting and cussing and ranting about it. And I just got convicted about it, you know, and like the Lord was going to say, you know, things like this happen, and let's just be patient. Let's pray our way through it. There's good things are coming. I blessed you with this house and this land. This is no way to act. So I had to bear up under that, under those negative circumstances with patience, which is so not our human nature to do.
Right.
At all.
Right.
I mean, if I have any reason to rant and cuss about something, I usually exercise my right to do that, you know.
yeah. Well, listen, my dad's a home builder, and I know, I mean, the theft that can happen to a property site, mm-hmm. especially, like, they love to take copper. They love to take the copper from the electric work.
Oh, yeah.
And the amount of theft you can get, and their I remember being little and my dad would show up on a site and he'd be really mean to the worker. Like he'd be like yelling and pissed. And I remember being little and it would kind of hurt my feelings. And I didn't like him talking to people that way. And he got in the car and he was always sweet to me and kind of just saying, you know, if I don't speak to them, if I don't show them that I'm angry, you know, they'll walk all over daddy. So I got to do what I got to do. You know, he's just trying to explain it to a little girl. But then as you grow older, you understand they don't show up on time. No. He shows up, they're sitting around, they're throwing their cigarette butts on a wood floor that just got finished. I mean, it is hard. It's hard.
Did you see my Instagram picture of the trash?
It said,
Jesus was a carpenter, but I don't think he left his Powerade bottles laying around.
Exactly.
What would Jesus do? I went out there and there was 23 hunk of pizza boxes.
Uh-huh.
Hunk of pizza boxes. And there's a dumpster. That's fine, Anna. But there is a dumpster, a barrel right there.
Yeah.
Throw your hunk of pizza box in there. And not to mention the cigarette butts all over. And we don't have floors down yet.
Mm-hmm.
But there are cigarette butts all over the inside of the house. And no, there's no floors there. But, you know, I'm very OCD about cleanliness, even on new construction.
Yeah.
Let's just use the dumpster.
Yeah.
We're paying for it.
Yep.
Use it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I know.
Whatever. No respect.
Well, we wanted to clarify, too, because there's a lot, there's, you know, whenever there's like a tragedy, people like to say, you know, God never gives us more than we can handle, which isn't true.
No.
That's not even biblical.
No, it's not.
It's almost promised that at some point we are going to have something that we can't handle. And that's that's what we need God's strength for, to get through it.
Absolutely. Because I'll tell you, when my mother died, it about sent me over the edge.
Yeah.
That was more than I could handle, was her death. And only by the grace of God did I get through that without wearing a straitjacket.
Yeah.
Only by the grace of God. So no, God doesn't give us more than we can handle. But God never gives us more than he can handle.
Right.
You
exactly.
Know, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he gives us the strength and the patience to move through it and to get through it. So as all of this, you know, as I get all of this kind of resistance and things are happening and, you know, I'm worried about my platform and how things are going for the book and how things are all going to kind of line up. And then I get hit with this, you know, it's not necessarily that God is like, the whole house could have been flattened.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
You could have been in it.
I could have been in it and the whole thing could have, I feel so thankful that it turned out the way that it did. But it's kind of like, you know, this is a huge pain in the butt, but this is, you know, rely on me. I'll give you the strength to get through this. You will get through it. Everything will work out. Have faith in me. These are all, as we've been talking about through these past weeks, these are all these obstacles and these trials do us so much good in the ultimate training.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? And for me growing as an adult, we're still pretty young. We've got a lot to learn, you know? And so for me to be able to share this story, I told somebody today, I was like, well, I'm going to have a pretty powerful testimony when this is all over, because this resistance has been unreal, you know?
Right.
So.
And we go through things in order to help others. I can tell you, I spent 8 days in a hotel room, maybe solely for the purpose to tell you, Anna Lynn Thomas, that you're going to make it through. Because I didn't even have a king size suite. I told you, I was downstairs watching boxing with some old man.
Eating all the peppermints out of the candy tray.
Yeah. So I'm here to tell you, if I did it, you can do it too.
Yeah. And we were, you know, we're insured. So we don't have to sit here and worry about that. I was like, God, Rob, what if we weren't insured? And this just... Mm-hmm. Our savings would just be almost gone within just, you know, I had the fridge stocked with steaks for Father's Day, brand new, gorgeous steak and so much good food. And our insurance helped cover for the spoilage. I mean, we are just very, it just reminds us, like, these are the certain things that remind you to take care of yourself, to make sure you, if you can afford insurance for a particular situation, don't get it. Don't be like, oh, this ain't going to happen, because it will, you know. So, you know, it's just, it's comforting to know.
I just wonder if there's just a way that you can say, this is my, it's almost like when you're exercising, you know, listen, this has probably only happened to me maybe once or twice in my life where I was exercising and actually felt good about it. But yeah. I remember when I was training for a half marathon and it was a long day and it was hard, but I was able to do it. And it was like, it was a long day. Like when you're training for a marathon, it's like 2 hours or 3 hours, or it was a half marathon. So it was one of those long days. And I was like, this is so hard, but I could do it. And I was so shocked at my body that I could still keep that pace after I was on an hour and a half, that I still had this pace and my body was doing it. And I was going up a hill and it was hard, but I was like, I was so pumped that I could actually do it. And I was so proud of myself that there was this kind of like, fun energy to the difficulty of it all. And I remember just going back home, and you know when you get like a good workout, men are always guilty of this, they get a good workout, like, you know, Rob will go for a run for 20 minutes and he comes back in with his hands on his hips, he's like, woo, wow. Babe, did you pick up any Gatorade? No. When do I ever pick up Gatorade? Back my electrolytes.
You know, I do that, yeah.
He's just sitting there chugging water, just letting it just go. He's just feeling, you know, just revived, you know.
Uh-huh. I always come in like huffing real hard, so the whole family will be in awe of what a master of fitness I am. I just power walked around the neighborhood twice, but I come in, I'm like, woo, gosh, I'm a wore out, boy. You know,
it's a hot one. It's a hot one out there, kids.
Y'all need to get up off the couch and do something. Woo, feeling good. Jason's like, yeah, whatever. You just walk for 20 minutes.
Yeah, you start making yourself a salad.
Yeah,
you're kale. Like, let me tell you something, kids. Our eating habits are about to change.
Who wants some quinoa?
You're just throwing the Oreos into the trash.
Yeah, we gotta get this junk. This is toxic. This is nothing but chemicals. We gotta get these chemicals out of the house. Yes. Go plant some tomatoes in the backyard, kids. Woo!
Yeah, feeling good. Woohoo! Yeah.
Feeling good. Yeah.
You're just walking around in your sports bra because you feel like you've already lost 15 pounds.
Yeah. And then you're on the way to a travel tournament the next day and have to pull in McDonald's so you get a number 3 with a Dr. Pepper.
Exactly.
What happened to the eating clean? Well, we're on the road.
It doesn't count when you're on the road. Yeah. So that jazzed up feeling of like, I got that. If we could, instead of despairing, if you can get that attitude for whatever wall you're hitting, I just wonder if not only it makes it better, it makes it fun, but then your outcome is also substantially better, and God now has the opportunity and the ability to work that out for your good.
Yes.
So
gratifying. It's that way for me every time I finish a book. Every time I'm in the middle of a book, it's just torture. When is this stupid book? But it's such a gratifying feeling to know that you're capable of doing something and pressing on and persevering and that you've learned something and to actually finish it.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And not, you don't have to, I've kind of noticed that I don't necessarily think I'm a lazy person, but I will say, and I do have to give myself a lot of grace for having two small children. I mean, people remind me of that sometimes, like, when I had two small kids, I literally could do nothing else but raise them. So, you know, give yourself a break. And I try to have grace for myself. But at the same time, I will kind of give up easy. Like, this is too hard. We'll do the podcast some other time. You know, they can wait a week, you know, or this is, you know, sometimes it's going to suck. And it takes determination and discipline. And that's what God wants from us in everything that we do. He wants determination. Yeah. He wants discipline. He wants 100%. That's why I get so inspired by your little Natalie, because I don't know how much natural talent she is and how much is just discipline and determination and a good old attitude. I'm sure that's helping taking her some places too, you know?
It is. Yeah. She, I really admire her. I mean, she's a very coachable kid and she strives to work. She's not a natural born athlete. I mean, she's my child.
Yeah.
She's not. She didn't come out like Serena Williams, all right?
Yeah.
But she's worked to be what she does. And going back kind of piggybacking off that, we have such a busy week, and it's all involved with her. All-star tournament, state championship, travel ball, basketball has started up, piano lessons all week. And so, you know, I moved the podcast back this morning because I didn't get into like 12 last night. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking last night, I was like, oh, it's going to be so easy for me just to say, Anna, look, I got too much. Because after I get done with this, recording this, I got to go again. Yeah. We've got another game tonight and piano lessons this afternoon. I was like, maybe we should just skip this week. And I got convicted of that, too.
Yeah.
I was like, no, we just talked last week about don't give up. And now I'm like, I got to give up on you, Anna. So, yes, perseverance is the key word there.
Yeah. And I was a little bit glad that you moved it because I did feel that text. I was in bed, but I wasn't asleep yet. And I saw it and I was like, okay, good, because I was still up and I knew that waking up was going to be painful. And I go, you know, as long as it's noon – I can still make that work, and then we're both a little bit more rested. But yeah, if you would have told me that, I probably would have been kind of relieved, because then it would have been not my choice. I'm like, well, Susanna can't. Then I probably would have felt convicted and felt like I had to do the show myself. So I'm like, well, everybody, listen to my tornado story.
Isn't that true? Now think about the nugget of truth in that. We want somebody else to make the decision not to do something, so it's not a burden to us.
Yes, exactly.
I do that all the time. I'm like, oh, I wish they'd just cancel. I wish they'd just tell me I don't have to come, or I wish that, you know, I wish they wouldn't invite me because I don't want to go anyway.
Exactly. I know.
You know, and then they invite me and I feel guilty. I'm like, crap, now I got to go. I wish they just weren't my friend. I'm going to start talking about them so they won't be my friend and I don't have to.
When that baby shower is canceled on a Sunday, it feels so good. It feels so, you feel rejuvenated. You're like, I don't know what I'm going to do with my day, but the sky's the limit.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord, that she got sick with listeria and I don't have to go to that mesh.
I'm going to read a book today.
Woo.
Get out of your Sunday clothes. You got back from church. You were staying in them because you were about to head out. Turns out she's got the flu. Whoa, uh-oh.
Hope you're her baby all right.
I'm sure she is.
Hope they're all right.
Modern medicine is a miracle. I'm going to go ahead and get into my pajama bottoms.
I'm putting my bathing suit on.
Yeah, exactly.
Go outside. Send a quick text. Hope you and the baby feel better.
Yeah.
While I'm listening to my Pandora 80 station. Let me know if I can do anything for you, but please don't let me know because I really don't want to do anything for you.
I know.
Let me know if I can do anything. Please.
Let me know if I can bring you anything. And then she replies back and you don't even read it. You're like, I didn't. Like,
yeah. I need some Gatorades and some. Oh, well, sorry. You canceled the thing and I left town.
It's the truth. It is the truth.
It is. It is.
And that totally applies to
we don't want to give up, but we want somebody else to give up.
Yeah, to let us give up.
To force us to give up. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so that we can not feel guilty about giving up.
Uh-huh. It's terrible.
It is. I know. And I'm sure both of us, there have been times where Susanna and I have a pretty difficult time usually trying to sync up. It's it's usually my kids' nap times that can make it so difficult. But
tornadoes,
trying to sync up our schedules. And you know, there's a time where both you and I, you can tell one of us we're just waiting for the other one just to call it. But we don't.
Don't.
And it's not that we don't enjoy doing this. I actually love talking to you for this hour. It's just the idea of it.
I do too. I know. Yeah.
It's the preparing for it and the making sure you're all right. It's that part that is just like you have to really rev yourself up. And so I've been determined that God values sacrifice. If you think about the Old Testament and how many even metaphors and stories does Jesus talk about that include some kind of sacrifice? He is clearly a God that values sacrifice.
Yes. Amen.
And so if we can't sacrifice an hour of our time, if we are so inconvenienced that now I'm at a hotel with better Wi-Fi than I have at home, but I still can't work.
Get behind me, Satan.
Because I'm eating my sugar. You know what my favorite, those sugar cookies with the frosting that you get at the grocery store?
Loft House. Yeah.
I told Rob, I was like, well, because we had to go to the grocery store to kind of pick up some food. And I was like, well, obviously we got to have some tornado cookies. That's what I call them.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing but junk from top to bottom. I go, well, we've got to have some tornado cookies. So I'm sitting there eating some tornado cookies, feeling sorry about myself that I can't work when I've got better Wi-Fi than I do at home. Of course I can. I'm just not in the mood because I've been displaced. So just show up and get it done.
I think God places people in our lives too to hold us accountable.
Yes.
So like you and I hold each other accountable to show up and do this, even when we don't, you know, just like when the same thing, like when you're on a diet, if you're not, you know, if you have a partner with you in that, you're just begging, you're just hoping they'll say, hey, I cheated today. Let's go get some ice cream together and just ruin the whole day.
I used to go to the gym with this one girl who was super physically fit, and we were doing the Jillian Michaels master workout book thing where you're doing crab walks on your back across the gym. And I was like, I hate Jill, you know, where you can just tell Jillian Michaels just messing with you now as you're doing crab walks across the gym.
Yeah. She's able. Yeah.
I remember I was so elated when she texted me at 5 o'clock in the morning to tell me she didn't feel well enough to go to the gym. Was a high to turn off my alarm and to go back to bed and to not have to go to the gym. It was so sweet. I still remember it to this day.
Relief. Sweet relief. Yeah.
And I tell you what, nothing came out of that workout. I don't think I ever lost any weight, and nothing improved. Because instead of being like, okay, well, I guess I got to go do it by myself and get up and sacrifice, determination, hard work. That's how we get anything done in our lives that's worth a dang. Yeah. So,
yes.
So,
absolutely.
You just got to accept it. And then this is where God comes in, is to give us the strength and the attitude and the peace to make it better than ever. If I wake up early tomorrow, now I'm already getting myself in trouble. Maybe I should wake up early tomorrow now that we're downtown again, walk over to one of my favorite coffee shops and do some writing. It could be, with a good attitude, a little sacrifice, something the best I've written in a long time, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Or you could sleep.
Or I could sleep and wake up, just keep nursing the baby until 8. Sometimes I'll do that. I just keep nursing her. She's like, hello, are we waking up anytime soon? I'm like, here, eat some more. Mama's drowsy. Eat some more. I can get her to 8 easy some days. I could do that. And then I could wake up all grouchy and be like, there's no coffee in this executive sweet hell hole.
Eat a tornado cookie.
Eat a tornado cookie. Feel bad about myself. So that's the beauty of this verse, is that there are things that can even be unimaginable. And I don't have a tragedy here. I have an inconvenience. People go through tragedies every single day. And we can't handle it. The only way we can handle any of this is through God's strength. And He will come through. He promises to. He promises to.
Absolutely.
And you're a living testimony to that, through the trauma that you had. And for you to have your sense of humor back and to be you again is a miracle over such a loss.
Yeah, it is.
Right?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Nobody to thank but God for that.
Yeah.
Nobody to thank but God. Yeah.
So don't give up, and know that through every temptation and through every trial, God will give us the strength to get through it.
Patiently. Amen. You have the access to get through it patiently. Yeah. Bear up under it patiently. Yeah.
Because sometimes it's going to take a week for your electricity to go back on, and that's a long week. You know?
Show is.
It's a long week.
Especially in that Roach Motel where I was staying. It was.
All right, everybody. Well, Susanna, do you have any announcements?
I don't. I'd like to wish my daughter a happy birthday tomorrow. However, she will be 11 years old tomorrow. My sweet little baby will be 11.
Oh, how fun. What are you guys going to do?
Well, we're supposed to have a pool party, but it looks like rain's moving in. But we're still gonna have it if we can. Have a pool party, and she requested a tray of 200 Chick-fil-A nuggets.
Oh, yes.
So I'm going to have a story about that later. I want to let y'all know next week about the ordering the Chick-fil-A nuggets.
Okay. I can't wait to hear that one.
Remind me to remind you of that one. Yeah. And the word Polynesian sauce is going to come up quite a bit. It's just a little spoiler.
Okay. So for me, you guys, you can, of course, follow Susanna at Woe Susanna and check out her new book, Unfortunate Ursula Underwood, which you can get off of Amazon. And as for me, you can follow me, Anna Lynn Thomas, at Ha-Has for Hoo-Has. And follow our new, if you're pregnant or know somebody who is, come join us at the hilarious Facebook group, the Pregnancy Chronic Angles. I'll let you in. It's me. I'll just press that button, let you right in. Don't ruin it. Some people are coming in there ruining
somebody
it.
On an elevator? Somebody on an elevator?
Yeah, somebody did. And they just looked right at me, right in the eyes. They're like, what is she doing? I'm like, don't worry about it. It's called a podcast.
I'm persevering, darn it.
This is called determination. Look me in the eyes. I don't even have my good mic. I'm talking in my mom's crusty old headset.
God bless you, Anna. God bless you. You're in my prayers daily.
Thank you. All right, everybody. Well, we hope that this, I hope this good word encouraged you this week. It surely encouraged me and Susanna. And we will see you guys next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.